You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
It's time for our weekly catch-up with the National Party.
Welcome back to The Wire. Last week, the government announced its new transport plan, focusing primarily on car and road developments and their flagship Roads of National Significance policy. This focus on roads and car developments has led the government to pull funding from other areas, such as public transportation, walkways and cycleways. The Commerce Commission also last week released its first annual grocery report, identifying issues with a lack of competition in Aotearoa's grocery sector and increased prices faced by consumers. The report advises that the problems stem from a lack of regulation, which enables the supermarket giants to act as they please. This week in our catch-up with the National Party, I spoke to MP Katie Nimmin about the government's new transport plan and the Commerce Commission's first annual grocery report. What are some of the goals that the government had in mind when developing this plan?
Well, look, I think if you think back to the government policy statement, the GPS as we colloquially call it, the goals for that predominantly is about efficiency, productivity, and then of course coming out from that you've got safety, you've got emissions reduction. But, you know, our key goal is about efficiency and productivity, reduced travel time. You know, if we want to get around New Zealand, deliver more goods more affordably, do more jobs, make people more able to work faster and better, then that's what we're here to do. And look, we've got a huge infrastructure deficit at the moment that we're addressing, so there's a lot of catch-up work, and that's, I suppose, what you'll see with the Roads of National Significance, most of which are key projects that regions have been waiting for nearly a decade.
As you mentioned, the plan has a large focus on roads and car users, even to the detriment, some say, of other types of transport, such as public transport and cycling. Is this kind of approach necessary?
Oh, well, look, I disagree with you in the respect that even in Hawke's Bay, and this is a job that I came from, was managing public transport, the spend on public transport's doubled in Hawke's Bay. So the focus of the government is definitely on public transport, but where it's needed and where the investment is realistic. And, you know, I think we can't be naive and think that people don't use cars. I mean, we are the kind of country where you have to have good quality roads. And, you know, I do see, you know, a huge amount of importance in cycleways and public transport, absolutely. But in some parts of the country, and particularly my area in the Napier electorate, you know, there are some places that people still can't even access by car or by bike or by foot even, because bridges don't exist. And, you know, they're down to one lane, certain weights of vehicle can't cross over. So, you know, we can't look at just one over the other. There is a complement, but we're acknowledging that a lot of work has been done in recent times on cycleways particularly, and so now is the time for us to focus on getting roads to a usable standard, and that's a big part of the work we're delivering.
Yeah, on that work on cycleways, Transport Minister Simeon Brown said he thinks New Zealanders are sick and tired of the amount of money going into cycleways. Is this a statement supported by substantial evidence?
Oh, well, look, you know, anecdotal evidence, absolutely. I can even speak to a lot of the people in my electorate. I mean, we're seeing cycleways and speed bumps going into areas where, you know, around the corner, there's such significant potholes that people are having to get tyre replacements. So, you know, I think that it's about priorities. And, you know, National is known to do a huge amount of work on cycleways back in the John Key government. It's not that we have a problem with it. The problem is when you prioritise it over the fundamentals of having working and functional roads. And so that's a clear message that we're sending. We want to reduce the pothole number in New Zealand, and also the time people wait for potholes to be repaired, and at the same time make sure that roads are built to a higher standard so that we aren't seeing the need for resealing within 7 years, which is not what it should be. It should be 25 years.
Well, fixes to the roads certainly are necessary. There are worries that moving funding away from some areas into supporting roads more and car users more may increase both emissions and congestion. Is this something that the government is concerned about?
Well, look, there's all sorts of things that we can do to address those issues. And look, I'd argue that in some areas where we've got roads that need replacing, or we're looking at new roads of national significance, there's decreased emissions by having, having a lower incline of road, not needing to have heavy vehicles accelerating to the same extent. And likewise, also having more free-flowing traffic, it does reduce congestion, it does reduce idling, which is one of the higher emitter modes. And so I think these are all things that we've got to consider. And we live in a multimodal country. Absolutely part of our plan is to supercharge the EV charging network. And we're seeing work underway on that already. And so absolutely people will be moving more to electric vehicles, but electric vehicles still drive on roads.
Earlier this year as well, there were concerns when the government scrapped regional fuel taxes that there wouldn't be as much funding for regional public transport developments. And in this transport plan, have we seen any funding to reflect maybe that sinkhole that was left by scrapping the regional fuel tax?
Oh, well, look, that at the end of the day is a local council fund. Local council can choose to, fund public transport through other targeted rates. Which is what most councils do, whether it's targeted or general rates. But at the end of the day, we have people already paying multitude of fees and levies on their road user charges, fuel in general, and of course, license registration fees and all of those other fees and charges that are part of the transport network. And they all go to funding the roading network across the board. That has always been the case. The thing that we need to be more careful about is making sure we aren't adding extra taxes on to road users that they don't benefit from. Because at the end of the day, road users pay a huge amount, and most of the time it's entirely necessary. I haven't seen any plumbers, electricians or builders be able to access a site in a bike. And so it's important for us to consider the modes that our economy requires. At the end of the day, we've spent $32.6 billion, if I can get my exact figures correctly, on transport. It's the biggest spend we've ever had. And, of course, part of that is all modes, whether it's public transport, cars, it doesn't matter. And so there is funding for each region and the planning that they are required to do as part of it.
All right. Moving on to the Commerce Commission's first annual grocery report, which came out last week, talking about the impact of the supermarket duopoly on prices and various other issues. What is the government's initial response to this report?
Oh, look, well, it's a necessary report, and it does reveal that the current state of competition is inadequate, which obviously leads to higher prices at the checkout, which is something I hear from people every single day. And the report underscores the need for reforms and, of course, cutting red tape because, that's how you promote competition, making it easier to enter the market, which it is absolutely not easy at the moment. And then we have to have meaningful benefits for consumers, and that's ultimately what we hope to see.
This attitude around cutting red tape, it seems to run a little bit in counter, I guess, to what the report is trying to say. The report primarily criticises the lack of regulation around the existing supermarket duopoly between Woolworths and Foodstuffs, and even calls for further regulation there, which they say will enable other smaller competitors to engage in the market. What does the government think about this? Are they willing to engage and regulate those two giants?
Oh, yeah, look, absolutely. I mean, I think we've been very clear that regulation is a necessary function. What we don't want to see is over-regulation. We've had a policy where if you introduce one new regulation, you get rid of two. The Commerce Commission obviously has talked about the wholesale code and the disclosure standard, which are really important. I've met recently with the grocery sector, and they say the same thing. It's important for us to make sure that the right regulation is there, and don't misunderstand me. We need to regulate the supermarket duopoly at the moment, but we also need to get rid of the red tape that makes it harder for new players to come in. And I can speak to one example where a supermarket decided to move to a new site, and the existing site they had already, it was so locked in consents, no new supermarket provider could buy the site and set up their own supermarket. That's the kind of red tape that is so difficult for a new supermarket chain or provider to get into, is having access to land, consent to build, consent to open, parking spaces and all the rest of that program, not necessarily how it sells and the way in which it engages with the suppliers. I mean, those are two very separate types of consenting and regulation.
Last year, the government in its campaign pushed its tax cuts as a potential answer to some of the impacts of the cost of living crisis. However, this year we've seen, you know, rents, mortgage interest rates and food prices, as we mentioned here, continue to rise. Is the government considering further interventions or other measures to address the cost of living crisis at the moment?
Yeah, well, look, there's always going to be a lag. We've talked very openly about seeing the green shoots, and, you know, a lot of the data that we see at the moment would tell you that things don't immediately get better. You know, our tax relief is just one part of a suite of things that we are doing to address the cost of living. And, you know, inflation is still at 3.3%. It still means that prices are increasing. They are just increasing at a lower rate. And, you know, I think if we go back to the point of the supermarkets, just because inflation is now at a more manageable level and people have slightly more money in their back pocket, it doesn't mean that supermarkets aren't still increasing their prices because they haven't got a big enough competitor to come and meet them in the middle. And so, you know, there is a lot that we're doing, but the OCR rate being announced to be reduced, that doesn't have an immediate impact either. And so we've just got to keep holding the fort, keep working really hard, which is exactly what we're doing. And we're confident that we'll see better results for New Zealanders. You know, and as we say, the green shoots of an economy turning a corner are being seen, but it all doesn't happen overnight.
That was the National Party's Katie Nimmin speaking to me about the government's new transport plan and the Commerce Commission's first annual grocery report.
That was our weekly chat with the National Party.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.